Hello, I'm Amanda Ray Marino, Public Affairs Officer for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Logistics Activities Center in Millington, Tennessee.
And I am Warner Buckman, a biologist for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in the Charleston District.
Welcome to the Build Strong With Us podcast, where we give our listeners an opportunity to learn more about the diverse people, mission impact, and career opportunities our personnel experience within the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. In this edition, we talk with U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Dylan Edwards, the Chief Ranger at Norfolk and Bull Shoals Lake in the Little Rock District of Arkansas, where he oversees everything from park operations and policy enforcement to community outreach and team development.
Hello, Dylan. September 27th is National Public Lands Day, and thanks to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, employees like you, Americans have access to approximately 4,700 Corps of Engineer recreation areas across the country. Just learned that myself. So we thought this was the perfect time to have you on as our guest.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me. Here at Norfolk and Bull Shoals Lake, we've got over 100,000 acres of public lands that we manage for the benefit of the public. And so I'm happy to be here and looking forward to the conversation.
Well, thank you, Dylan. So let's start at the beginning. Can you share your background with the Corps of Engineers and what attracted you to joining the Corps of Engineers more than 18 years ago?
Yeah, you bet. So I started with the Corps while I was in college. I'm getting a degree in outdoor recreation from the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. I had heard from a friend of mine who had served as a summer park ranger about the summer ranger program and thought that it was a good fit for me. And so I started as a summer park ranger in 2006. And at the time, really didn't know what that was going to turn into. I knew I wanted to do something outside as a career. And fortunately, it did turn into a career for me. I worked as a summer ranger for a couple of years. After that, they hired me on as what used to be known as the co-op program. Now it's referred to as the Pathways program, but I came on as a co-op ranger. The day I graduated college, there was a permanent GS9 park ranger position, 579, that they filled me with. That kind of started my career. And so I worked at Beaver Lake for the next 7 or 8 years. Got a lot of experience at Beaver Lake with public lands and with huge customer bases and with extremely busy recreation areas, being right there on the outskirts of Northwest Arkansas in a really growing area. We had very, very busy parks, lots of different background and ethnic background of our customers, which was beneficial to get that experience. And it was good. I worked at Beaver Lake until 2014. And had the opportunity to come back to what is home for me, which is Mountain Home, and worked here as a ranger and worked some different programs here than what I was used to at Beaver Lake, and ended up getting into a supervisory role over our facilities maintenance department, which was fantastic because it gave me a different look into the operations that we do out in our parks. And then was able to come on as the chief ranger in 2017, I believe, is when I got into this role and have been doing it ever since. And it's been, you know, it's been just a great career, coming up on 19 years now. I feel like starting as a summer ranger, I've really, I learned park operations and project operations from the ground up. I mean, as a summer ranger, we were out there changing out fire rings and campsite posts and, you know, learning the importance of the facilities that we provide to the public and learn that from the ground up. Of course, now I'm much more involved with management and decision making and, you know, get a different look at it from this viewpoint. But I've been incredibly blessed to do what I do for the last 18 years.
What an impressive career journey you've had so far. And it sounds like you've really been from the bottom to the top as far as the Corps of Engineers and what you've done with Rangers. So thinking about that, how does the Corps of Engineers' mission align with your personal values and your goals?
Of course, very passionate about recreation, so passionate that I got a degree in it. There's kind of a funny story to that. When I told my parents that I was going to get a recreation degree, of course, this was like year three of my college journey. That was a not so pleasant conversation because, you know, a lot of people don't even know recreation degrees exist. And of course, their response was, what are you going to do with a recreation degree? But I was passionate about the outdoors, always have been. And so the outdoors and outdoor recreation and safe, high quality recreation has been important for me personally in my life. It's helped shape who I am. And so I know what it does for community. You know, it benefits local economies. It benefits mental health. And so, you know, that's kind of my approach to why I do this for a living. I want to be part of providing those outdoor recreation experiences to our community. And I have an incredibly close relationship with this community. The folks that come into our parks, our customers, they are not only just customers for me, but they're folks that I grew up with. They're people that I go to church with. They are people that were my teachers and now are my kids' teachers. I have that personal connection with the people that use our parks. And so that's what motivates me to do what I do every day, to make sure that our park facilities are safe, that the people in this community and surrounding communities have safe recreation spaces to go out and gain all of the benefits that those places provide to them.
That's fantastic to see a community built around public lands and to see that you are able to support your nation with public land in the community where you grew up. So a lot of times we talk about serving our country and it means going off and putting on a uniform and joining the military, but you're able to serve your community, serve your nation right in your hometown. So that's got to be pretty special for you.
It is. It's what motivates me every day. You know, it can become challenging, particularly dealing with the public day in and day out, especially during the summers when, you know, our parks are full and it gets hot and things just start to stack up. But what motivates me every day is that I have to remind myself of the benefit of what I do and the benefit of what our parks and public lands and the lakes provide to this community. I mean, you think about Mountain Home. Mountain Home is what it is because of these two lakes that we have, one to the east and one to the west. That is why Mountain Home is what it is. It's a tourism economy. People live here because of the recreation opportunities that it provides. We don't have large industry here in Mountain Home that we had, say, at Beaver Lake in Northwest Arkansas, where you've got Walmart and J.B. Hunt and all of these different things that are bringing people to Northwest Arkansas. Beaver Lake's great, but that's probably not why people are moving to Northwest Arkansas. The lakes and rivers are why people have historically moved to Mountain Home and why they continue to move to Mountain Home. And so Corps of Engineers is a very big part of this community. And, you know, again, I feel it's why our community is what it is. And so I get up every day and I put this uniform on and I feel very blessed to be able to do that and serve the community in the way that we do here.
In your time with the Corps of Engineers, what is a major project that you have been able to work on that advanced access to public lands within the Corps of Engineers?
Well, lately, here recently, we've been working on and trying to wrap up a big project. We were fortunately able to receive some funding from the 2022, maybe the 2021, bipartisan infrastructure law that President Biden and Congress passed. And of course, it was a massive infrastructure bill that ended up trickling down to some of the districts and projects. And we were fortunate that they picked some of our budget packages that we had submitted, just like we do every year for improvements to our recreation areas. They specifically picked up some of our paving and roadway repair projects that we had submitted for. And so we received about $13 million between Norfolk and Bull Shoals Lakes to make some infrastructure repairs to roads and paving and parking areas. And so recently we've expanded parking in some of our access areas to the lake. So boat ramp parking specifically. And that's been incredibly important because Norfolk Lake fluctuates about 26 feet from the conservation pool up to flood pool. Bull Shoals Lake fluctuates about 40 feet from conservation to flood pool. And so to say that our facilities become impacted by high water doesn't even do justice to it. You kind of have to see it to believe it and see the impacts. And we lose access to the lake when the lake is up because our boat ramps are non-existent and a lot of our parking areas are non-existent. And so we've taken some of these funds that we recently received and have really expanded parking areas for those trucks and trailers. And we've built all of those above the flood, top of the flood pools on both lakes, so that even when we are high, they are not going to be impacted. And so a couple examples at Panther Bay Park on Norfolk Lake, we went from historically, I think we had 8 or 9 trailer spaces out there. We now have 65. That's been a major win for the public, gaining access to the lake that they didn't have before. And we just wrapped up last week. In fact, right before the holiday weekend, we were able to open up our improved Cranfield Park, which is one of our busier parks. It's right outside of Mountain Home. It's the closest park to Mountain Home, making it very popular. And we actually built almost 100 new truck and trailer parking spaces out there. And so it's a really big parking lot. And that directly is going to benefit people when it comes to access to the lake, because historically when the lake was up, which it has been this summer, they just can't get on the lake as easy as they normally would be able to because there's nowhere to launch and park. And we have fixed a lot of those issues, and we're just getting started. I've got many more projects to do on Bull Shoals Lake that are going to do the same thing with expansion of access. So we're really excited about those.
How many parks and recreational areas are under your purview specifically? You mentioned quite a few already, so I was just curious.
Yeah, I don't know the number of areas right off the top of my head. I want to say that it's over 20 between Norfolk and Bull Shoals Lakes. You know, it's kind of hard to come up with a specific number because some of our developed recreation areas, some of them are kind of underdeveloped areas. Some of them we have leased out to counties, such as just, you know, boat ramps around the lake that may end at a county road. And so, you know, as far as developed recreation areas, we manage quite a few of them between both lakes, and they are spread out between a large geographical area. Bull Shoals is a massive reservoir. People don't realize how big it is, and it covers both Arkansas and Missouri. As with Norfolk, both lakes sit in Arkansas and Missouri, about half and half in each. And so Bull Shoals runs from Mountain Home westward all the way up to nearly Branson. And so some of our parks are over 2 hours away from our office. And so we, you know, we have a lot of area that we cover, and, you know, really kind of few rangers to do it, particularly with this summer with hiring freeze and different things like that. We've had a really much smaller crew than we typically have. And so that's been a bit of a challenge, but we have a very widespread out group of recreation areas across both lakes.
And you were mentioning those lake fluctuations. Is that just based on seasonality with rainfall and all of that sort of input?
Yes, is the short answer there. The lakes were built to hold water. They were congressionally approved and mandated to be built for flood risk management after the floods of, you know, the 1920s and 1930s that were just devastating to our farming communities in the Arkansas Delta. We built the series of dams and lakes along the White River, Beaver Lake being the first one. Then you've got Table Rock Lake. And then you've got Bull Shoals, and Bull Shoals is kind of built to support both Table Rock and Beaver, which is why it has such a large fluctuating pool. Norfolk's is a little bit smaller, but it still fluctuates, like I said, from conservation to flood pools, 26 feet. It's frustrating at times because as a recreation professional and someone who wants to see all of our facilities available and open to the public, I have to remind myself a lot that's not what the original and still continued intent of these reservoirs were. It was for flood damage. They were built to hold back water, and that's what they do, and they do a very good job at that. And we prevent a lot of downstream flooding because the rain events that we're receiving nowadays are worse than those that they were seeing, you know, back in the 20s and 30s, and those events that were bringing light to the need for these reservoirs. And so we have seen a lot of high water years, particularly since 2008, and it's just become part of how we manage our lakes, and we have gotten very good at managing them under high water conditions.
On a personal level, how does working with the Army Corps of Engineers support your personal goals and your priorities? You mentioned the passion that you have for recreational areas and all of that, but thinking about work-life balance, thinking about how your family gets to grow up around this amazing job that you have as a park ranger, how does what you get to do on a daily basis really support those personal goals and priorities that you have with your family, with your community, with your church?
I use our recreation areas, our lakes, our rivers, just like any other customer that we have. And so that, again, helps motivate me to make sure that that we're doing a good job out there. Personally, you know, my family and I, we like to take vacations and we like to spend time outdoors, and that's kind of how we recharge. And we do a lot of that here locally. We have a lot of what we call staycations, where we just spend multiple days out on area lakes and rivers. We may rent an Airbnb or something and stay here locally. The resources that we have here in northwestern and north central Arkansas are tremendous. We meet people from all over the country who are coming here to vacation, and I can understand it why, because I stay here to vacation as well.
I love that. I think that's a real testament to the value that these national lands bring to the community when we ourselves are using them as employees of the Corps of Engineers. So that's amazing.
So what qualities or skills do you think have been most important to your success within your journey, within USACE, within your current position?
You know, we kind of already talked about it a little bit, but the fact that I was able to come in at really the lowest level possible, I think I was a GS3 summer park ranger, knew absolutely nothing about the Corps of Engineers. Even growing up here in Mountain Home, of course, I used our lakes here, but I didn't really know what the Corps of Engineers was. I just knew we had two lakes and they were awesome and we spent a lot of time on them. It wasn't until my first summer ranger job where I really started learning about the Corps of Engineers and who they are and what they do, and being able to just learn project operations from that ground level, I think has really helped shape who I am and how I've been able to kind of end up where I'm at now, because being able to go out there, boots on the ground, face to face with the public, is priceless. And so learning it from that level and then being able to slowly work my way up and really have plenty of time in each position as I've kind of moved up the ladder has been tremendously important to me.
So really building on that, what gets you up in the morning? What is it that makes you want to put on your uniform every day and get out there and support the Corps of Engineers mission?
Passion for what I do, passion for the outdoors, passion for my community, passion for knowing that what I do and what the rest of my team here does is so tremendously important on so many different levels. And a love for people. I love the people I work with. I love our customers. I love my family, and my family is really what motivates me to do everything that I do and to try to do it to a high degree. And so, you know, my family and my beliefs and being grounded in those things are what motivate me. And you know, when I get up every morning and I put the uniform on, I sometimes forget how fortunate I am to do that, because I've got such a wonderful job to live and work where I grew up, and having friends and family around me and having these two lakes around us is just a tremendous blessing. And so sometimes I feel a lack of motivation to get up and put the uniform on, particularly, you know, towards the end of the summer when we've been dealing with all sorts of different things throughout the summer. But at the end of the day, I feel very blessed to do so, and I try to stay as motivated as possible to do that.
So as you get up those mornings and continue to work in these amazing recreational areas that the Corps of Engineer manages, how do you see public lands fitting into the quality of life that we enjoy across this entire country? I mean, you get to see the chunk in your area, but obviously that applies to so many of these incredible opportunities that we have, the 4,700 of them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, public lands and access to public lands is tremendously important, not only for the community I live and work in, but nationwide. I think that there's probably an issue with young folks wanting to get outside nowadays with advancement of technology and so forth. And it, you know, if you don't grow up in it, I think you kind of miss it. You don't realize how important it is. But there's study after study that shows the importance of access to high quality recreation and how it can benefit community and how it can benefit family and how it can benefit mental health. And obviously it can benefit financial health to communities and tourism and economy. And of course, Arkansas is a large beneficiary of that. Tourism in Arkansas is huge, right? And so there's so many benefits to access to high quality recreation. And so being able to get out, we do a lot of community outreach in our schools and try to share that with our students. Of course, you know, students here in Mountain Home, Arkansas, most of them, they already are customers of ours, or they spend their summers on the lakes. And so I don't think we have maybe quite the issues with lack of access to recreational opportunities here in Mountain Home that maybe some folks do in other parts of the country, but there's so many benefits. And as long as I'm working, I'll continue to try to preach those benefits to our customers and try to get as many people out to our parks as we can. There's nothing that makes me happier than when I go down into one of our parks and see folks with smiles on their faces, right? Like, when people are in our parks and they're camping and they're launching their boats, they're happy. And just that has so much benefit, especially in today's world where there's plenty of reasons for people to get down in the dumps. They can always go out to our lakes and it's going to be all smiles. And that kind of ties back to the what motivates me. You know, being able to go in our parks and see that is why I do what I do.
Are any of these areas stocked? Do they continue to provide fish to any of these reservoirs?
Absolutely, yeah. The fisheries here is tremendous. We've got a very active Arkansas Game and Fish Commission Fisheries Division up here. You know, on the lakeside, they manage for your warm water species with bass and crappie and different various lake species. And then below our dams and our tailwaters, those are cold water trout streams. And when I tell you that I've met people from all over the world who come here to trout fish, that's not an exaggeration. I've met people from all over the world that come here to try to catch one of our kind of world-renowned German brown trouts. And below Norfolk Dam is about 4 miles of trout stream before it dumps into the White River. And below Bull Shoals Lake, we have over 90 miles of what's considered trout stream. And of course, that most of that runs off of what's considered Corps of Engineers property, but it's directly tied to what we do. We provide trout water, and that is required by law to provide minimum flow, cold, oxygenated water for the health of the trout below the stream. And that is another part of our, you know, impact to the local economy, and the reason why people are coming here is because of the fishing. I think outdoor life consistently over the last several years has ranked the Mountain Home region as very high on the ranks of places to retire for fishing reasons. People that want to retire and want to retire somewhere where they can fish a lot, this is one of the places that people come. We see that every day on the lakes and on the rivers.
Can you tell us a story specifically when that teamwork played a crucial role in overcoming a challenge in some of these recreational areas in these public lands?
Well, we have a tremendous team here at Mountain Home. I've got a lot of folks that are motivated by the same things that I'm motivated by. They're from the area, and They have that personal connection with our customers. And, you know, that really shows in everything that we do. We've got success stories all the time out on the air, on the lakes. And, you know, as rangers, sometimes we wear a variety of different hats, and we can get into roles that a lot of people may not think that we necessarily do. Last year, in order to get Cranfield Park open the way that we needed to, kind of I had a all hands on deck period of time where we were doing in-house maintenance projects out at Cranfield Park, and rangers and maintenance personnel were all coming together to you know, replace fire rings that were rusted out and needed replaced, and lantern hangers, and 6x6 posts that that, you know, make the border of your campsite, and burning the park and getting rid of leaf litter. And we come together as a team and do a variety of different things like that. Sometimes they're fun things like that where we can see our benefit. Unfortunately, as rangers, we also have to come together sometimes and deal with tragic events, but that's what, you know, that's what we do as public servants. But we, you know, unfortunately, sometimes people drown, or they have other variety of different accidents on the lake. And I've seen our rangers come together during some of those situations in ways that'll just blow your mind. And they kind of put their personal feelings aside, and they go to work, and they do that for the public that they serve. And it's as terrible of a situation as you may be in dealing with certain circumstances. It's really incredible to see the team come together in some of those times, and know that they've got the public's back no matter what.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Dylan. I can only imagine how hard those moments must be, but the fact that the Corps of Engineers and our teammates there are able to come together and make the situation a little bit more better. That's huge. Yeah. So what is one thing that you think people outside of the Corps of Engineers need to know about working within this organization?
Yeah, that's a good question. We the first thing that people need to know is that the Corps of Engineers is a tremendous agency to work for. You know, we're celebrating our 250-year anniversary this year, and to look back along the timeline of the past to see all of the things that the Corps of Engineers has done over the last 240 or 250 years is really impressive. And so getting to be a part of how we continue on with that awesome legacy is really special. But I talk to a lot of folks about the Corps of Engineers. We go to high schools. In fact, I serve as one of the mentors at our local high school, and on occasion go up there and talk to them about career opportunities and just try to walk them through certain, you know, life decisions that are coming up for them. And so I try to spread the wonderful news of the Corps of Engineers to anyone I can, particularly in the outdoor recreation realm of things, because that's what I do and that's what I'm passionate about. But we also have a lot of folks that work in our dams and powerhouses that are hands-on craft type guys. You know, they're your electricians and your mechanics. They like going in fixing things. And so talk to a lot of folks about those opportunities as well, because the Corps, like any other agency, we've got people retiring all the time and there are job opportunities coming available. And so it's my job, and it's to my benefit to make sure that we're trying to find the best people for those positions. And I think, you know, for a lot of the same reasons why I'm where I am is because this is where I want to be. And so I think, you know, Mountain Home's unique in that way. You have to find young folks that want to be in Mountain Home. This is where they want to have their career. This is where they want to have their family. Trying to do community outreach and talking to our young folks and the public about what all we do here has been successful. We've pulled some folks from some of the other industries in the area to the Corps of Engineers. As you both know, we have tremendous benefits with health insurance and with paid time off and in my belief, a wonderful work-life balance and the opportunity to continue to have that. And so those are all good things that we have, and we'll continue to, you know, outreach to the public with trying to recruit the best folks that we can.
So along those lines, if someone wanted to be you one day, what would be a piece of advice that you would give them to take those steps?
You know, I give advice on people who are interested in kind of doing what I have done and what I do now. And the advice I give to them, particularly our young folks, is to try to get your foot in the door early, even if it means volunteering, right? We've hired folks who have came in here to do job shadowing opportunities as volunteers. And so you've got to show an interest, and you've got to show a willingness to show up and work, and, you know, trying to get in early. And again, at that boots on the ground level is tremendously important. That was beneficial to me, and I'm sure it could be beneficial to other people. And so I do try to communicate that with our young folks out there.
Dylan, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your story with us. We appreciate all that you do for the Army Corps of Engineers and our nation. And thank you so much for being a part of our team.
You bet. I appreciate you guys, and I'm happy to have done it today.
And to our audience, if you would like to submit a question or a suggestion for a guest for an upcoming edition of the Build Strong With Us podcast, please send us a note at buildstrongwithus@usace.army.mil. Thank you so much.